One of the highlights in family camp is, and it is probably the highlight, is after our teaching this morning, we are going to head down to the pond on this beautiful, glorious day and celebrate in baptism. And we have three folks that have committed their lives to Christ and have want to publicly declare to everyone their faith in Jesus. And there's nothing like that. Nothing like to know folks are trusting the Lord. What makes this camp special? This camp is built on bringing kids, families together to fellowship for the purpose of growing in Jesus Christ. And we're excited that you're up here this morning. We have been going through a neat little study called the Songs of Ascents. There are 15 songs in the Psalms, starting with Psalm 120 and with Psalm 134. We're not getting to all of them. We've just kind of hand-selected a few, and the guys have done a great job. And let's the guys Friday, Saturday, and Carl and Kelly today, let's just thank them for their time and their effort for putting together. It's a lot of work, and they're doing a great job, and it's been really neat. For those that came up this morning, the Psalms of Ascents are a group of psalms that the nation of Israel would sing on their way to worshiping in Jerusalem. They'd head there three times a year. They would head up and they would walk together and sing these. And these songs are hymns that provide courage, support, direction for God's purpose in their lives and for His protection for them. Because they were in the midst of enemies all around them. And they did not know what was coming next with all the, I can't remember which guy shared this past weekend, just all the different enemies that were around them, and they didn't know who was coming next, the Assyrians or the Philistines, but the Lord protected them. And in the midst of our own lives, we have the world that bombards us, and we sometimes need to climb the mountain of, whether it's Mountain Meadows or just our alone time, coming to the mountain of our own alone time and being with Jesus. And Isaiah describes this very well in Isaiah 2:3. Isaiah describes saying, come, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of God of Jacob. He'll show us the way so we can live the way we're made. You know, sometimes it takes us getting away from all the busyness of life to get up in the mountains and in the pines and at Mountain Meadows to really see what God has for us and how beautiful He is. And this morning we're going to jump into that with Carl and Kelly. But before we do, we've had a little bit of a challenge that we've challenged the folks that are up here this weekend. And let's just see how we did on these past two. My challenge to you today is as you go home, take the little pamphlet with you. Read over these Psalms of Ascents and continue to meditate on them, read them. See if you can, if you have not already, put a little bit of a title, one sentence or less to each of these. So last night, Luke did Psalm 125 and talked about mountains a lot. And so who has a little one sentence title or couple world title for Psalm 125? What do we have? God is our resting place. Yeah. Someone else. Yeah, that's awesome. He will preserve us and He is our peace. Yeah. These key words stand out when you read these Psalms. Someone else. Anybody else? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I put God's mountains protect us. I just like the analogy that Luke was talking about. He works in the mountains, God's mountains, Mount Lassen. We're up here in the mountains. And Jerusalem was surrounded by mountains. And physically, those mountains protected the people of Israel as they went up there. And spiritually, God protects us with spiritual mountains, His spiritual protection with His Word, and being in the Word and being in fellowship is a protection. And then Psalm 132, Sean Pike last night talked about a psalm really that's focused on David and David's love for the house of the Lord. And this might be a little bit harder one to put a title to, but let's give that one a shot. What do you have on that one? Psalm 132. Yes. God has promised us the King. He's given us salvation in Him. Yeah, good. Anybody else? I put David loves God's house. I mean, you can tell in that one, he's not going to sleep. He is not going to slumber until he can find a dwelling place for God's house. God loves our house, and so should we. And we love God's house when we assemble together. So, yeah, I would just encourage you as you take these and read these, even after this family camp, these are great psalms to focus on God's protection and love and care for us. So without further ado, we're going to jump into our first message this morning, and that is Carl. Come on up, Carl. Thank you. I know you're taller than me.
Well, I'm excited. I don't think I've ever been applauded before I spoke. It's better this way. Well, hello, mountain people. Are you guys having fun? All right. We're going to have a story about Psalm 124. And I want to tell you a few things about it. The psalm was written by David. I'm sorry. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. Put it down. How about now? Well, bueno. Okay, the psalm was written by David about 1,000 years ago. So I want to first of all give you some background. And this says, the Bible has 66 books. And it was written by over 40 different authors, God-inspired authors, over a period of 1,500 years. Now why it's important is that they can easily see this is no coincidence because there's only one common theme throughout all of these books, and that is the reconciliation of mankind through Jesus Christ. It is a particularly special picture of that theme that we're seeing in this psalm today. It's a song of salvation, and it was sung by a body of faithful believers. It's probably sometime between 500 and 1,000 B.C., I want you to know that there were faithful believers, totally committed. This was not anybody sitting on a fence post. They were sold in to Jesus Christ, or at least to God the Father. And the incredible thing is their commitment to that. There was no worldly influence. There was no distractions. There was total focus on their Creator. And as they were walking along, this was increasing all the time. The body and the size of it was increasing, and so was their exuberance and their excitement. They're meeting friends from Jericho, from Beth Shemesh, from Bethlehem, from Bethel, from Galilee and Nazareth, all over Israel. And I couldn't help but think of the comparison about walking this same route from Cottontown to Mount Meadows. It was about the same distance for most of them. Some it was even shorter than they would have walked. And yet there was total exuberance and happiness and a fulfilled love for their Savior and for what they had that commitment for. So we're going to approach it from that standpoint. Ascending this mountain, they're eager to worship through singing and fellowship. Can you imagine the feeling when ascending to the temple with believers? Can you imagine the joy ascending the rapture? These believers and others were described by in the Bible by some 500 years later that this is God's plan in process. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. Talking about these people, they had not yet seen Jesus. And it says, quote, These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them had received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us could they be made perfect. Now, I mentioned feelings of a large group. I had an experience about 30 years ago now. I was at the Oakland Coliseum, and I was at a Promise Keepers convention. There were 50,000 men at that convention. And at the end and the close of that, there was a similar crowd in Soldiers Field in Chicago. And they patched sound together, and as 100,000 men sang Amazing Grace, you couldn't believe the feelings in that room, in that audience. There were men weeping. There were men hugging each other. There were men incredibly excited for Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this is the portrait that I want you to see when we're talking about these people. Let's read Psalm 124. If you haven't, look at it a minute. I'd like to have you separate it, just a little pencil, with these two separations. Put verses 1 and 2 together, and then verses 3, 4, 5 together, and then 6 through 8. And why I'm asking you that is because there are going to be three blessings that we're going to consider. Number one is the blessing of the knowledge of our weakness and the remedy for that. Number two, the blessing of knowing the danger without the Lord and the confidence you have with the Lord. And number three, the blessing of the freedom of being in Christ and the exhilaration of being with Him for eternity. And we're going to have some special things today, and this baptism is an incredibly important part of it. These people that are being baptized are just now starting to experience all of these joys and knowledges and their commitments in the future. So I'm going to go through this one by time. The first is verses 1 and 2, and that is the blessing of knowing our weakness and the remedy. In Romans chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, it says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them." Isaiah 1:30, "We are like a garden without water." And Jude 1:12, "We were like clouds without water." We understand the reality of our position. I was on Instagram a while back, and I saw something that was kind of amusing, and I want to share it with you. It portrayed a police officer who had stopped a guy that was running a red light. And the officer said to him, "I stopped you because you had a red light and you ran it. Didn't you see the red light?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I saw the red light." He said, "Why didn't you stop?" And the guy said, "I didn't see you." Well, we sin so easily. And if nobody is around and nobody's looking, we kind of do the thing we want to do. We're all sinners. Our helplessness is manifest. It brings us to our knees. We're humbled. Verse 2 repeats and emphasize the problem and the remedy, again saying the same thing. Notice the point is that it is prefaced by the word "if." Well, that means they realize what happened in the past and they realize their sinful position. We all were filthy rags. And we understand that, and we realize the redemptive power of Christ bringing us to the fact that we have been from total depravity to a total exuberance. Now, verses 3, 4, and 5 is as follows. The blessing of knowing the danger without the Lord and the confidence with Him. As believers, we know we can be overwhelmed. We know and need to reject Satan's big lie. We can't comprehend the evilness of Satan. It's overwhelming. And we need to reject Satan's big lie. And that is, I'm really a good person. Or I was. We understand the pride of sin and self. All sin is generated from emphasis on self. I want this. I want that. I want lust. I want money. I want power. I want greed. All of those things, we understand that was our past. And the incredible realization that out of that junk and muck, God saved us. And He pulled us out. We could be swallowed by an earthquake. That's what it says. It says we can be overwhelmed by the flood or a tsunami or the ocean. The waters can sweep us away. But there's good news ahead. Verses 6 through 8 is the blessing and the exhilaration of knowing our future. Listen to these assurances. Psalm 18:16, He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. Psalm 91:3, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. We had the promise of our sins being covered by the blood of Jesus. We're protected. Why and how? Listen to this. Psalm 65:7, He stills the roaming of the seas and the roaring of the waves. Corinthians 15:54, death has been swallowed up in victory. We have been rescued from Satan's snare. The trap is broken. Well, there's a reward ahead. And that's the good news. Revelation 21:4 says, now the dwelling of God is with men. Notice, before we were walking up, and now we're understanding that it was God that dwells with us in our hearts. So instead of us going up to the temple's right here. The temple's right here, and Jesus is there. It says, the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And finally, some excerpts from Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing down from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of this great street, the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. Eve found the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and life and death, didn't she? Now we know, and we're standing by the tree of life. It's bearing 12 crops of fruit. It's yielding its fruit every month. No longer will there be any curse. There'll be no more night. The Lord will give us light, and they will reign together. Friends, we're going to be with Jesus forever. He picked us. Now, as we go through this psalm, I want you to keep in mind the parallels of Psalm 124 and what is known as the Romans' Road to Salvation. I started off this presentation with the fact that there is a common theme throughout. And it's hard to understand, but in every book in the Bible, there is a reference or a picture of what's to come, and that is of this reconciliation. And in this particular Romans' Road to Salvation is exactly that same parallel. Let me read it quickly. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, think of the love that he has for somebody that is really in the muck. And finally, Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart you believed and is just and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We're humbled, and we praise you for choosing us. We commit our lives to doing your will. We want to tell others about what you've done for us. We're overwhelmed in observing your compassion with how you've woven together the story of our little buddy Bodhi. Incredible patience. You are a powerful and wonderful God. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. I think. Thank you. Kelly is. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to say one more thing. I was standing outside, and I was watching, and a little girl about 2 years old was running along, and all of a sudden she did a digger and fell down on her face. And she looked up to see if anybody would help or if anybody was watching. I don't know, but I think looking to see if mommy, so she could get some help. And she didn't see anybody. You know what happened? She got up and went on. Life goes on. It happens. As long as we have the love of Jesus Christ, we're in business. Thank you.